I pledge allegiance to the red, white, and blue. Hey everybody, welcome to Red, White, and Brews. I'm Greg Grugan. And as I say every week, this is my dream job, talking to people that fascinate me, good friends usually, while drinking an ice cold beer. And joining me today, Travis McGee. Travis McGee and I first met out in the community.
Right.
Travis is a community activist. He has run for office, but most importantly, he cares about the folks out in Sunnyside and District D all around.
South Park, right.
So, man, you know, we first, I guess, talked when you brought issues of concern that were genuine and honest. And when I vetted them, you were telling me the truth.
Right.
And so you've always been a truth teller.
Absolutely.
So, okay, tell folks, you know, a little bit about your history. How long you been here in Houston, and what do you do?
I've been in Houston all my life. I am actually a product of the community, like most people say, but yeah. I graduated from Ebony Worthy, went to B.H. Grimes, Crispus Attucks. My business is in Sunnyside. My house is in South Park, so I'm actually from the community. I own a barbershop, and I also do small construction.
Yeah, man. I bet you hear all kind of stuff at the barbershop.
Absolutely. You hear the truth at the barbershop.
What's going on over there, man?
Man, everybody's wondering what's going on in these bios.
All right. Let me get everybody up to date. You know, we have had an incredible, astonishing, scary number of people float up in the bayous.
Right.
Last week, you know, the official total was one number, and then we learned that over the course of a year, it's been over 30?
Yes. It's been 33 to be exact.
What's going on? I mean, what do you hear in the community?
Well, they don't want any more vague answers. They're saying not to speculate, but our elected officials shouldn't be assuming anything either.
So we hear from the police chief and the mayor, we do not have a serial killer. And yet we have all of these bodies. Many of them have decomposed to the point to where it's very difficult to tell how they were, how their lives ended.
Right. Well, I have never met a serial killer, I don't believe. I can't tell you how a serial killer look. I'm not going to say it is a serial killer. It's not a serial killer. But what we know for factual is that there has been 26 bodies in 2023, 24 bodies in 2024, and 33 bodies in 2025. In a three-year span, that's 83 bodies. One is too many.
All right. I know you've done some thinking about this.
Right.
Do you have any theories?
It's something going on, because if you look at the things that the medical examiner did release, some of those say forced blunt trauma. So I doubt if anybody killed themselves and then jumped into the bayou, but it still says undetermined for the death cause.
Here's the theory I have heard.
Right.
You know, we have a significant homeless population.
Right.
Substance abuse runs pretty rampant.
Right.
Violence in those camps happens. And that when somebody dies or is killed in a fight, that they dispose of the bodies in the bayou because you get them out of the camp and you move them on the water.
Right.
And, you know, what do you think of that?
I don't think that's proven to be true.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the homeless are better survivors than anybody because they are homeless. You know, I have this project called the Robin Hood Project.
Yeah.
And we've been feeding, clothing the homeless, helping them find housing and everything for almost 8 years now.
What do you think is happening? What are you hearing at the barbershop and elsewhere? What's the speculation? Because I know there's fear.
Right. We don't think everybody is suicidal. We don't think everybody's dying for natural causes. We don't think everybody's drowning and stuff like that. Something's going on, and we need to get to the bottom of it. But not telling the public and not being transparent with the public, that's not good.
What's your ask of Mayor John Whitmire? You know, he's had one press conference, and obviously he didn't answer all the questions that you had.
Right. Well, we want transparency. Given the race and the gender of a suspect or a victim has never hindered any investigation. If someone if it happens today, they're going to say the suspect was such and such race, and the victim was such and such race. It never hindered an investigation at all. In the history of our crime lab and stuff like that, by them having stuff on the shelves for over two decades, that's not too assuring to anybody.
So what would make the situation better? Should we have regular briefings on the status of the whole cascade of bodies?
Right. Transparency would make it better. I even suggested making dredging of bayous a part of hurricane preparedness every year, right? I mean, we have the governor of Texas so eager to send resources down here, send the National Guard to dredge the 2,500 miles of bayou. That makes sense. It won't be on our tab. It will be on their tab.
Yeah, I'm afraid they don't want to see what's in the bio.
Exactly.
Oh, we've been living here. I know I've been living here a quarter century, right. You longer.
And I'm going to say, this didn't start on this particular administration watch. Again, this has been going on since, as far as we know, 2023. And I'm pretty sure before then. But the transparency can start on this particular administration watch.
Is the fear real?
Yes, the fear is real. I mean, why not? Because if you think about it, Greg, the last 2 months, we've really been considered to be in a drought.
Yeah.
It hasn't been enough water to push a body 3 miles downstream. If you go by some of these bayous now, you might see a crane standing in the middle of the bayou. If you go down there with a net, you can catch a catfish, garfish, turtle, whatever you see. You can walk across some of these bayous without even getting calf deep.
Hold that thought. Red, White, and Bruce, we'll be right back. I pledge allegiance to the red, white, and blue. Hey, welcome back to Red, White, and Bruce. I'm with my good friend, community activist, Travis McGee. Travis, I like to get together with you and find out what's going wrong in the city of Houston.
Right.
As well as what's going right. But I'm going to start with the bad side. What's going wrong?
Well, we're still having these drainage issues. And 10 years ago, we voted for Rebuild Houston. I've always called it Rebuild Summer Houston. And it's supposed to have been this dedicated lockbox, but it had to be too many keys to this particular lockbox because they've been using the money for everything but drainage. The drainage has actually gotten worse since we've been paying this drainage fee. It was supposed to generate at least $100 million a year. So that's $1.5 billion that's not totally accounted for.
You've had some concerns about development in Sunnyside that was, I guess, inappropriate.
Right. Sunnyside, South Park, portions of Third Ward, Fifth Ward, all the neighborhoods below the poverty level. So why and how are you building things $400,000, $500,000? And it's called Chapter 42 ordinance. It allows them to replat these lots. A lot has a width and length. And the address even changes. So it'll go the long way and they'll subdivide them up. So now you have maybe eight structures on one lot at $400,000 a piece.
So I would assume they're saying this is affordable housing?
Anything they're building right now, they call it affordable housing. But affordable for who? It should be affordable for the demographics, not the people that's building them.
Are they being priced out? And I'm talking about folks from the neighborhood priced out of their neighborhood.
It only takes one new structure to raise your taxes. So imagine them putting six to eight on one lot.
How often does that happen in the area where you live?
It happens every day. It happens every day. And the bad thing about it, a few times this has came back up to council. But if the elected employees don't know what Chapter 42 is, how can they properly vote on it? So you look at eight structures, that's 24 toilets,
yeah,
on the prehistoric sewer line now. And it was in Montrose forever before they moved some of District D out of Montrose. And the feces and urine has started bagging up into people's houses. And that's starting to happen in our area also.
All right, got to get your report card on Mayor John Whitmire. I'm a fan. I think he's done a lot. I think he inherited a gigantic mess.
Right.
And he has made a lot of progress in a lot of areas. But, Travis, I respect your assessment. Your thoughts on John Whitmire?
I think he's doing the right thing about making everything the checks and balances with the money and stuff like that. I think tourists should be looked into more and things like that. I think tourists should be putting more money back into the coffin, even Metro, because they can always say, we're going to get more money from the taxpayers when eggs are $7 a carton now. You know, we don't have the money to give. Now, what I would like to see change is to more transparency and listen to the community leaders. We don't need any more studies and stuff in the city of Houston. It's people within these communities that can come and tell you exactly what's wrong and how to fix some of these issues.
Yeah, to his defense, though, I mean, we inherited a full-blown war in terms of what Sylvester Turner left
right.
with the firefighters.
Right.
He solved that. You know, he has a new contract with police. He had the option of raising taxes after after Hurricane Beryl.
Right.
Said, our folks can't handle it. We're going after corruption and waste.
Right.
Do you think he's done a good job and we're approaching 2 years?
So far, I think he's did a good job because, like I said, the firefighters was promised that money.
Yeah.
They was promised that money. And as a head of a household, as a man, if I would like to take care of my family also, especially in a dangerous job like firefighters. They don't get to pick and choose which burning building they go into. They got to go in there. It don't have to be a 3-on-1 service request for them to come out and do it. They have to take care of it.
Yeah. We were talking earlier about your skills in the trades and how we've seen a movement to where young people can make a 6-figure income working in what were thought to be blue collar industries.
Right.
Are you an advocate of that?
I'm a strong advocate of trades because my family owned a roofing business for over 50 plus years. And my sixth period leaving Word in high school, sometimes I was putting my work clothes on. Matter of fact, we put a roof on Word in high school. So it should be a option just like college. The only guarantee with college right now is you're going to be in a lot of debt. Trade schools, you can start work tomorrow. Now, they messed up by taking it out of high school where it was free, right? And now they got to choose between why should it be an option of getting free trades in prison? It should be prevention before detention.
Absolutely.
if you look at it, if you go I-10 East, you don't hit a pothole until you cross the Texas state line. Louisiana, Mississippi, they have the inmates out there, the plumbing, the infrastructure, everything. And when they're released from prison, they can go out and get those jobs.
I'm a big believer in vocational.
Right.
You know, automotive service.
Right.
HVAC.
Absolutely.
Welding. A whole range of things that we need, and that need's not going away.
Well, think about it. Each time a storm hit, it pushed our drainage project at least another 20, 30 years, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So imagine we had kids graduating ready to do those jobs as soon as they cross the stage. And it will bring the tax revenue back to Houston.
Talking about $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 a year jobs in their early 20s.
Right.
Hey, hold that thought.
Right.
Okay. Red, White, and Bruce will be right back. I pledge allegiance to the red, white, and blue. Welcome back to Red, White, and Brews. I'm with my friend Travis McGee. Travis, you know, community service is in your DNA.
Right.
You know, you've run for council, got very close, but you're no quitter.
Nah.
And I think, you know, just because you didn't win didn't mean you stopped serving.
I never stopped serving.
And I guess I want to know, if you could solve one problem in this city, what would it be?
We would have to go back to worst case first and neighborhood to standards, what we used way before they came up with that 3-on-1 idea. It was neighborhood to standards, a more common sense approach. And we had to get away from the have and the have nots of the city. I'm also the super neighborhood president for the South Park Super Neighborhood 72. Some of our parks don't even have swings. But you go over to the other side of town, they have margarita bars, they have steakhouses, they have valet parking and stuff like that. Some of our parks we've been waiting, like Edgewood Park, we've been waiting for like 17 years. Found out recently it's going to take another 2 years. That doesn't make much sense. I think the worst case first, and if you look at the park's assessment list, Levy Park regard needs. That's how they did it, by needs.
Oh, you mean Levy Park right over here?
Came dead last.
Yeah, needs. I know. It is a show place.
It's a show place.
But they said we could visit.
Right. These are tourist dollars.
Yeah.
Right? At the end of the day, if you're going to continue to ask residents for money, taxpayers for money, you have to go back and say, okay, we're going to cap these tourists. After you make a certain amount of money, we need the rest of this in our coffers.
You know, Bill King and you are kind of on the same same line of thinking.
Right.
He says we ought to pull back some money from Metro and that percent of sales tax we give them.
Right.
And eliminate some of these tourists.
Absolutely. Metro is not being utilized as much as they think for them to be getting keeping as much money as they're keeping, right? When we still have infrastructure. We have some of the worst infrastructure in America, I believe.
Yeah.
You know. So at the end of the day, we everything should be fair across the board for all Houstonians.
I want to ask you about HISD. At a state takeover, Mike Miles, controversial figure.
Right.
You know, some people said the antidote is worse than the disease.
Mm-hmm.
We saw a bunch of really good test scores, and the pressure's been off to some degree. What's your assessment? Because you're on, you know, you're with the grassroots.
Well, look at here. In 2018, we led the charge. It was called the Death of a School District. And we was at Hattie Mae White from 4 p.m. to after midnight. We actually stopped the first attempt without any elected officials helping us. Unions was on the other side of the fence. Other people's in the back room cutting deals, whatnot. I think it was all about money then. I think it's all about money in real estate now. Look at the bad legislation that all elected officials voted for. House Bill 1842, Senate Bill 1882. Both of them are centered around charter schools. But if you look at your tax bill, Greg, it says Houston Independent School District, not Houston Independent School District and Friends. Because all this is, it's all about money. It's all about compensation. It has nothing to do with education. And now, you say the test scores. If you get to grade yourself and get to evaluate yourself, what do you think your score is going to be?
Well, I mean, to be fair, their scores have elevated from where they were, you know, immediately after the pandemic, and they continue to go up, and they're outperforming comparable districts around the state. And so, you know, by any means necessary is what the advocates of Miles say.
Right. And sometimes that by any means necessary means you pencil whipping the test scores. If you know what that means now.
You're skeptical.
Oh, I'm just saying it's not true. I'm flat out saying it's not true. Would you let Dracula go at the blood bank?
Well, you know, look, you know, my job is to be even-handed.
I hear you.
And to follow the facts.
Right.
And I'm not saying that he has been a PR success. On the contrary.
Right.
He's a PR disaster.
Well.
However, by the metrics that we gauge these things, he's progressed every time they've done testing.
Right. Again, because he get to grade his own paper. Now, if you look at 80 to 90% of our tax dollars make up HISD budget.
Yeah.
We receive sometime less than 10% back from the state. So, in other words, if anyone should be independent, it should be Houston Independent School District. We don't need the state coming here, taking our money and dividing it with smaller districts, sharing it with charter schools. But our accreditation is not working in some of our schools. Our grads can't get cut in some of our schools. And they cutting most of our programs in all of our schools. Now, make it a fair level playing field across the board. If you look at the zip code for Bel-Air and Lamar, and you bring those kids back to their schools with the programs, they would not have enough kids to survive. Now, don't get me wrong. Both of those are good schools. My kid went to Lamar, right? Because as a parent, I have to do what's best for my child, not what's convenient for me. I would have loved for my kids to walk the halls of Evan E. Worthy, but the schools are not the same. If you go to our side of town, the feeder patterns had been totally destroyed. So if you don't have no good elementary schools, you're not going to have any good middle schools. No good middle schools, you're not going to have any good high schools.
All right, Travis, you know, I've been wanting to do this for a while.
Right.
Sit down with you, share the conversations we have privately in a very public way. Will you come back and talk to me again?
I come back every day if you have me.
All right. All right. Hey, look, thinking about running for office again real quickly.
I'm going to do it again. We need real people down there.
All right. Well, you're real people.
That's right.
All right. Hey, thanks for joining us for another episode of Red, White, and Bruise with my friend Travis McGee. We'll be back next week, and I hope you'll join us.